I am sure all of you have seen those license plates. The frame of the license plate, or perhaps a bumper sticker that says, "I'd rather be." I'd rather be sailing, I'd rather be kayaking, I'd rather be quilting, I'd rather be hiking, I'd rather be karaokeing. Is that how you say it? However, not until today, this morning, have I ever known anyone to have this on their license plate frame or bumper sticker. I'd rather be in church. I'd rather be worshiping God. Yes, in today's gospel lesson, there he or she is. The leader of the synagogue, good soul that he or she might be, no doubt had plastered to the bumper of his or her donkey the saying, "I'd rather be praising God." The specific synagogue and village is not known. The evangelist Luke perhaps did that on purpose, to spare the community any further embarrassment and shame that they so richly deserved when they criticized Jesus for healing this woman on the Sabbath. They went around carrying protest signs that said, "I'd rather be praising God." What is it about the Sabbath? Let's be clear on it. The Sabbath is the most sacred of the days of the week. You remember it took God 6 days to create the heavens and the earth. And on the seventh day, God rested. God called the seventh day Sabbath and provided it as a gift, truly a gift of grace to God's chosen people, the Israelites, a day of rest. But wait a second, let's be clear what God meant by a day of rest. Right now, you might be sitting here thinking, "I'd rather be someplace else. I'd rather be back home in bed." Rest in God is different than sleep. Rest in God. The Sabbath means rest, and it means to take your rest in God, and to take your rest in God looks and feels like this. An entire neighborhood, a village, coming together to worship God, to sing psalms, to say prayers, to listen to the scriptures and be fed and nourished by the word of God. What a beautiful and wonderful thing to rest in God, to be nourished by God's word, to sing psalms, to say prayers together. But over time, unfortunately, the Sabbath for the Jewish people, the idea of rest in God began to take a life of its own, until the time in our gospel lesson when Jesus healed the woman on the Sabbath. What had been a gift of grace had now become legislated. Exactly what you could do and couldn't do was being written down and codified. How many steps you could take on this day, how many trips to the community well you could make. Growing up in Seattle, I knew only one Jewish person. Perhaps I led a sheltered life. It wasn't until I was in seminary in my first year in St. Louis. Our landlady was Jewish. I had no reason not to think that she would loan us one of her pots for a lasagna dish when we invited some friends over. She was kosher. She was aghast. I was aghast when she told me that she didn't use electricity on the Sabbath, for to turn on the light switch would cause someone to work. I thought that was nuts. By the time I had completed that year of seminary, I no longer thought it was nuts. I thought it was more like reverence. The Sabbath, that gift of grace, got codified and legislated. And one of the things that was expressly forbidden was healing on the Sabbath. Now, I know that that strikes us moderns as absurd. Of course, we all approve of what Jesus did this morning. Right on, Jesus, do it again. It's no crime or misdemeanor to heal a woman on the Sabbath. It would be a crime, Jesus, if you didn't do something like that. Why, of course, she's more important than a donkey or an ox. And what could be more God-like by Jesus than to heal this woman on the Sabbath? Of course we think that. We think that because, well, this is a day to do your grocery shopping this afternoon, or maybe you're going to make a pilgrimage to Northgate Mall, or you're going to go home and finish the deck, or you're going to do the laundry. Some of you I know right now are making out a shopping list on the back of one of those cards in the pew. I know that because sometimes you accidentally leave them in the offering plate and I get them as a prayer request. You know, it's really funny, you know, bacon, eggs, milk, you know, are we supposed to pray for this or what? That's just the point that the leader of the synagogue had. He and the others who were listening to Jesus' teachings, you see, it was like the domino effect. If you let a healing happen on the Sabbath, what's next? Laundry? A trip to Walmart? A look around the hill for that perfect house, or time to mow your grass? All of these things could not happen because you wouldn't be resting in God. You wouldn't be praising God on the Sabbath. And let's consider for a moment how, at least, for crying out loud, the woman had been suffering for 18 years. Jesus could have waited 18 hours, right? Not even 18 hours. Probably was only about 8 hours. I mean, what difference would it make, really, seriously, huh? I mean, why get everybody so upset and mad at you and, you know, and mad at this woman? You know, that would be the fallout, you know? I mean, what's a few more hours before the Sabbath is over, huh? When you think about it that way, you kind of wonder why Jesus didn't wait. He didn't wait because God couldn't wait. God couldn't wait. This wasn't just some ordinary woman, some no-account person. This was, and here is the whole key to this whole text. It is what Jesus calls this woman. We do not know her name. He simply calls her a daughter of Abraham. She was one of the chosen, an Israelite. She was one of the people to whom God had made a promise, and God was going to fulfill that promise through Christ Jesus. Jesus came to free her of an ailment. We don't even know what the ailment was. We know that her back was bothering her and she was all stooped over. Perhaps it was curvature of the spine, muscle deterioration. I don't know, maybe she was bent over because she was depressed and anxious about her daughter, who seems to always make the wrong choices when it comes to boyfriends, or her son from whom she was estranged. We have no idea, and it didn't matter to Jesus one bit, because Jesus came to set people free too, people like you and me. We are not sons and daughters of Abraham, but in the waters of holy baptism, make no mistake, we are the sons and daughters of God as well. And God made a promise to set us free, to set us free through the forgiveness of sins, to set us free. And the amazing thing that happens when Jesus sets this woman free from her ailment, did you read the text? Did you hear it? What is the first thing she does? She starts praising God. Imagine that, praising God on the Sabbath. Imagine that. Oh, there is some skillful writing here, folks. As the evangelist St. Luke tells this story, it is just another example of how the kingdom of heaven and Jesus Christ came near. It didn't just come near to this woman. It was fulfilled in this woman when he set her free. And you and I are set free by God's forgiveness in Christ Jesus. What Jesus did was not expected. The expected Messiah would come to set the people free by running the Romans out of town. That's what they were thinking. But Jesus is setting people free was one person at a time, with a teaching or a healing or the preaching of God's word. But it wasn't the people that expected to be set free. No, he turned to the outcasts, to the sinners, the tax collectors, the poor, the lepers. These were the people of the kingdom, including this woman. And this woman proves him right. This woman he heals when he lays hands on her and says to her, "Woman, you are set free of your ailment." Her response is to praise God. This is what God does for us in Jesus Christ. God sets us free. And the only response is to praise God, to give thanks. But not only can we praise God and give thanks in church. We can do that outside of this building as well. And we can bring the kingdom of God near because it's come near to us in the waters of baptism. Think about somebody in your life that needs to be free, who is burdened and weighed down by guilt. Someone you can forgive. Someone you can love unconditionally. Someone you can free because in the waters of baptism, God shares that with us, that we might go about to be instruments of God's grace and love in the world. We are free to be loose in this world to free others. And when we free people, when people are truly freed through the forgiveness of sins, then the Sabbath happens. And it doesn't matter what day of the week it is. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.